Hey, New Life, so glad to see you tuning back in with us this weekend. Just want to shout out to everybody that's watching online today, whether you're watching live or you're watching later. Hey, I welcome you, everybody who's staying at home being careful. We're praying for you. We're glad you're safe. For those of you that are traveling and away, thanks for staying with us this weekend by tuning in today. We are in the middle, not the middle, we are actually completing today our series called Elect Joy. And this coming Tuesday is Election Day here in the United States of America. And you know what? It's always quite the ride getting to a presidential election and watching both parties do their thing. But you know what? At New Life, we've made the decision that we don't put our hope in humanity. We put our hope in Jesus. And so this whole series is on this topic of what we are choosing is to elect joy in our life. And we've been reading through the book of Philippians this series. Philippians is four chapters, and today we're going to go through chapter four. We're going to complete this letter. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. About 10 years after he started this church, he planted this church, he writes them a letter. He writes them the letter from a Roman prison where he is chained underground, and he's penning these words to the people at Philippi. And 16 times in the book of Philippians, Paul is using the words rejoice or joy. And it's so ironic because the author of the letter is literally locked up in chains in a Roman prison. And he's telling these people at the church of Philippi that they can elect joy in their life. And you too, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, you can elect joy in your life. You don't have to put your hope in humanity. You can put your hope in Jesus. And so let's take a real quick snapshot of where we've been on our Elect Joy series. Through our journey, we start off week one. We said that you could have joy always, right? Week two, we said that you could have joy beyond yourself. And you could do that by having an others first mentality. Last week, we talked about joy's focus. And here's what we said, that joy's focus is seeing that God grants freedom from your past. Joy's focus is seeing that God gives purpose for your present. And joy's focus sees that God has a plan for your future. In other words, we have a citizenship here, yes. But greater than that, we have a citizenship that's not of this world. It's in the kingdom of God. Heaven is our future. And joy's focus is to live with this eternity in mind. Living with eternity in mind means that we live with great purpose, we live our life on mission, and we live our life knowing that our citizenship of this world, whatever happens here, it doesn't affect the citizenship that we have with King Jesus, amen? So today we're going to finish up this series and talk about having joy for life. Joy for life. And so we're going to pick right up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. The NLT says it like this: therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you. You can hear Paul's heart for his church that he planted about 10 years prior, and he's writing them from this prison. You could hear his heart, his pastor's heart for these people. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. So this is how Paul he's beginning to wind down the letter now. We're in the last chapter of Philippians. But then again, we see the consistent messaging that we've been reading every single chapter from Paul to the people of Philippi. And we're seeing the messaging again. Chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. And so this is the common theme throughout the book. Again, I say, rejoice. And here's what is going to be kind of like a key verse for us today to see. And that is in Philippians 4:6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. So he says, rejoice always. Again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. but do not be anxious about anything. Why is that? I think Paul, he's alluding to and he's telling us that to be anxious or to have worry is actually, it pushes against, it prevents joy from happening in your life. I'll say it better like this, that worry is a killjoy. Worry is a killjoy. And so Paul starts off by saying, again, I'm going to say it, y'all, rejoice, but don't be anxious about anything, because anxiety or being a person of great worry will always kill joy. You know, when we worry, things become bigger in our minds than they are in reality, don't they? When we allow our imagination to run wild and worry about circumstances in our life, we always make it much larger. We always make the scenarios worse than they are in reality. And so have you ever imagined something? You've imagined maybe a situation, and then your emotions get wrapped up in your imagination only to find out that it wasn't true. Has this ever happened to you? Only to find out it's not true. But the moment of the imagination, it was really, really bad to you. It caused you maybe great anxiety, a lot of worry, when your imagination ran wild, building out a scenario where she was so mad at you, or this person was, you just know they were talking bad about you, or you think that you were left out intentionally. Or you think, man, I must have sounded really, really stupid. I made a fool of myself. And then you think and you imagine on these things and you make it so much larger in your mind than it is in reality. And this kind of worry will plague your life because it kills your joy. It is a joy killer. For example, if you have ever been waiting on the results from a medical test and your imagination then takes over. And normally, what is worse, your imagination or the results? And typically, it's your imagination. About 7 years ago, I had knee surgery after a sports injury, and it was the first time I'd ever had a medical procedure done like this in my life. I'd never had surgery. I had never been put to sleep, and for this knee surgery, I was going to be put to sleep, and I was very, very anxious. I was very worried about it because I was worried that like I would not wake up after the procedure because I'd never been put to sleep before, and so I was really worried. And I remember when they took me back to my room and they were prepping me for surgery. I was in this room all by myself, and my wife was with the kids outside the room, and I just remember thinking, I wonder if I just saw my wife and children for the last time, and I wonder if I will ever wake up from this, if I will have a bad reaction to being put asleep, and they can't wake me back up. I mean, I was going through all of these things, these thoughts in my head, and I literally laid in that gurney. And I had tears coming down my cheeks because I was so worried about the outcome. But you know what I found out was that this procedure that I had on my knee was like, it was a cakewalk. It was absolutely easy. I had nothing to worry about. And if I had to do it again, I would, because I felt even better afterwards. Like I could do things I wouldn't be able to have done if it wasn't for the knee surgery. But I was so consumed with worry. I made it so much bigger in my imagination. I was terrified. I was sad. I was almost grieving. And I was thinking that a minor knee surgery was going to lead to my death. I mean, that's how bad it got. And this scenario plays itself over and over in people's lives because they become consumed over hurts. They become consumed over interpersonal relationships that are experiencing turbulence. And worry is the imagination of that situation growing out of control, developing scenarios that do not align with reality. And so worry it is such a killjoy in your life. And I believe Paul is saying, hey, I'm going to say it again, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Get some joy in your life. And then he follows up by saying, don't be anxious about anything. Don't you worry. Jesus, he kind of tells the disciples this way in Luke chapter 12. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, listen, these are the words of Jesus. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life is more than food and the body more than clothes, isn't it? Consider the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. Every day, God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Did you hear that? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In other words, with all the energy you have spent worrying and imagining scenarios in your head, has it ever, ever helped you? The answer is no, it has never helped you. Then the question becomes, then why do I do it? Then why do I do it? Worry is really about a failure to be present, isn't it? Instead of being here, like I'm here, but my mind is somewhere else. Like I'm here, I'm in the room, but I'm not here in the room. Because my imagination, my mind is taking me somewhere else and I'm consumed with worry. There was a time in my life when I was consumed with a lot of worry and stress and anxiety. And I remember there would be evenings when I would be sitting in my home with my wife, with my three boys, and Jenny would just say, hey, Devin, where are you right now? In other words, what she meant was like she could see that something else was something else had my attention. Something that was, I was not in the room and I was consumed with something. And that is what worry does, is worries will rob you of living in the present because you're somewhere else. And many times people are prone to this when maybe work is really stressful for a season of time, or there's maybe a relationship that someone is really struggling with at home and they're at work. See, it can go both ways. And you can be at work, but you're not present there because you're worried about home. Or you're at home and you're not present there because you're worried about work, you see. So worry is a failure to be present. This is another reason why worry is such a killjoy, because you can't be present. You can't be in what God has for you right in front of you. And it'll cause you to miss out on a lot of opportunity because your imagination is making things bigger than it is in reality. And so if you look, and so Jesus, he's saying, consider the ravens. In other words, I feel like Jesus is saying, hey, just look around, like look at creation. If you look at creation, you will see that God is trustworthy. You will see that if God is trustworthy, that you, he can be trusted with you. And not just, you just don't have to trust God with big stuff like salvation and heaven. But Jesus wanted us to see that we can even trust God with the other parts of our life. That we could trust God with family, marriage, work, finances. So can you trust him with that? Can you trust him with that? Because birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't work for it, yet God feeds them. Because, and he doesn't feed them because they earned it. God feeds these birds because he loves them. And if that's the reason why God feeds birds when they don't earn it, They don't store for it. They don't work for it. If that's why he feeds birds, because he loves them, then how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? So when we worry, we miss out on the wonders of God, which is why worry is such a stinking killjoy. So these last few weeks, we've had some really good keys to joy. So let's move to verse 10 of chapter 4 and see another key to electing joy. Let's take a look at it. It says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again." Remember, this is Paul. He's writing to the church of Philippi. "I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. And I'm not saying this because I'm in need, but I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance." You see that? I have learned, this is a learned trait, to be content whatever the circumstances. Let's move forward. And he says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secrets of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." So here's another key to life with joy. A key to life with joy is to choose it every day. Choose it every day. Paul has woken up and been hungry. He's woken up, been well fed. He's had days where things are going great. He's had days when things are absolutely garbage. But nonetheless, he found the secret of having a joy, of having joy for life. And there's a key to it, and that is to choose it every day. So as we now have worked through the book of Philippians, and we're working through chapter 4, I wanted to pull out three things for us that Paul says will help us to have joy for life. All right, you ready? So first thing, joy for life is to worry about nothing and pray about everything. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Worry can be triggered by uncertainty in our life. When work seems to be uncertain, when finances seem to be uncertain, when we're uncertain about how our kids are doing, it can really be a big trigger for worry in our life. But the act of prayer, it becomes the great stabilizer of our soul in times of worry. Like prayer can really help quiet the chaos in us when we are activated in prayer. Prayer will always align you to have an awareness of God's strength instead of being so aware of our weaknesses. Worry focuses on weakness, but prayer aligns you to God's strength. And there's so many things that we could choose to really allow our imagination to cause us to be worried about. But let's see what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, again, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and watch this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Prayer will actually bring you to peace. It is the stabilizer of the soul. So if you have been consumed with worry, anxiousness, and you're resonating with this thought of the imagination of your mind making things bigger than they are in reality, then it's time that you be activated in prayer, because active prayer will align you to an awareness of God's strength instead of the worry that focuses only on your weaknesses. And so the first is we're going to stop worrying. We're going to resist the temptation to worry and pray about everything. And the second thing I think we can get from Paul in his letter here in chapter 4 is to fix your thinking. Because if worry is connected to our minds and our thoughts and our imagination, then we've got to fix the way we are thinking so that we can fix our attention, our focus, and our energy on God, right? On Jesus. So we worry about nothing, we pray about everything, but fixing the mind. Our imagination is the entryway for that killjoy thing called worry. So it is our mind that is the gateway for worry to wreck our lives. So some of the strongest people I know actually don't waste their energy focusing on negativity, on imagining scenarios, and allowing drama to consume their thought life. Some of the strongest people I know, they don't practice those things. They don't allow drama to weigh them down. They don't allow imaginations about scenarios to rule them, and they don't allow those imaginations to go too far. Instead of trying to connect the dots in their imagination about how an interpersonal relationship is working out, the strongest people I know choose to go right to that person and reconcile it instead of allowing it to fester in them, causing offense, and ultimately breaking down relationship. These are the strongest people I know. They have figured out this way to fix their thinking. And so Paul says it like this in verse 8. Paul says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely," he's not done yet, "whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." You see, if what is consuming your thought life, if what you're imagining and what's growing bigger in your mind and causing worry, if it doesn't fit any of these categories, man, you got to get that stuff out of your mind. Watch what he says next. He says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So we have to fix our thinking. Fix our thinking. Fix our thinking. Don't allow imaginations to be the gateway for worry to come and wreck our joy. Worry is such a killjoy, isn't it? I've lived in worry, and I've lived in joy. And we've got to stop, or we've got to keep the gateway, our imagination, from bringing in the worry so we can have joy for life. And the third thing that we can see from Paul is that we must trust the source. Trust the source. So to have joy for life, we're going to worry about nothing. We're going to pray about everything, fixing our thinking. So not our imagination, our thinking. We're going to put our thinking on good things. We're going to fill it with the Word of God. We're going to fill it with noble things, godly things. We're going to focus our thoughts on worship, focus our thoughts on God's purposes. We're going to remember God's promises. And then we're going to trust the source. And Jesus is the source. Remember, the ravens, the birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store, they don't work for it. And although they didn't earn it, God feeds them. Not because they earned it, because he loves them. Even more so, we can trust the source. You see, the core problem about worry is that it's not the absence of joy. The core problem about worry is the absence of trust. I would dare say that when we are so worried about things in our life, it's really because we're not trusting God with us. Yeah, like we see, yeah, God, you feed the birds. Yeah, I see that. And God, I trust you to forgive my sins. I trust you with heaven, but I don't know that I trust you with me. And so there's got to be this shift where we shift from this worry to placing trust in the Lord. So the problem of worry isn't the absence of joy, it's the absence of trust. Do you trust God with you? All of you. Your work, your marriage, your kids, your future, your finances, your faith, your future. to worry less, I would say, is to trust God more. He is the source of our provision. He is the source of what makes us confident. He is the source of life. Jesus even says it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is our source. Paul says it, continuing in Philippians 4 in verse 12, he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And this is the key. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul realized joy for life is connected to this ability to put his trust in the source. Because whether his natural resources were depleted or not, his true source was the strength that he found in the Lord. Paul writes another time in a different book. Paul is the author of the book of Romans. In 8:31, Paul writes it like this. What then shall we say in response to these things? Well, here's the response. If God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Trust the source. And if God is your source, you don't have to worry. But you know what? If you are your source, if your career is your source, if you're living for likes, if notoriety and fame and a sense of worth from other people is your source, then I'd be worried too. I'd be worried too. But if God is your source, that means you've put your trust in him. Trust the source. You don't have to worry. And maybe someone has been so caught up in worry in their life because you have tried trust before. And your only experience about trust is that trust is always broken. Trust has been broken by other people. You put your trust in others and it's been broken. And because that's how you relate trust with this experience of it being broken, you hesitate by this idea of I'm gonna go all in and putting my trust in God because you only know trust to be broken. But here's what I can tell you, and I can promise you. I promise you that God is the only trustworthy thing. In other words, he is worth trusting. In other words, he is worthy to be trusted. How does somebody become so worthy of being trusted? A great track record? Absolutely. Man, we've got thousands of years of accounts of just how trustworthy God is. What about what they're willing to do for you without asking for anything in return? Absolutely. Man, God, he gave his only son to actually take on the punishment of death that you and I deserve for our mistakes and failures. He did that. And all he wants in return is just your trust, your faith, your love, to surrender to him. And he's going to give you the best life yet. So God is the most trustworthy thing. He is a sure thing. You want to talk about return on investment? Man, the return of investing your life into Christ outweighs anything in this world. Outweighs absolutely anything in this world. So I implore you today, if you are consumed with worry, consider these things we're talking about today, but really put your trust in God today. He's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much. If he feeds and takes care of creation on a daily basis and they don't do anything that work for it or earn it, how much more does he love you? Let me tell you, a lot, that he would give it all for you. So that's the cry of this message today. Put your trust in Jesus to have joy for life. You don't have to live full of sorrow. You don't have to live full of worry. You can have joy for life. And so this now leads us to the very end of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. He's essentially, Paul is signing off for now. And it's from his chains in a Roman prison to his friends the Philippians. Paul finishes the book of Philippians with these last two verses, and he says, hey, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings, and all the saints send you greetings. I love this. He says, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. I just imagine that while Paul has been in Roman chains, he has made Caesar's workers his friends, and he has given them the hope of Jesus. So he says, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Then he finishes up this little letter by saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And Paul signs off his letter to the Philippians with those last words. And we know that from some of Paul's other writings in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, we see that Paul was eventually released from this prison, actually. And when he was released, he did what Paul does. He went out and he lived his life on mission. He began to preach the hope of Jesus in other areas. And some scholars even think Paul made it as far as Spain in his journey until the powers that be thought, man, we have got to silence this guy again. We've asked him, he's got to stop this preaching the message of Jesus thing. And Paul actually ends up back in prison again after getting released from this Roman prison where he wrote Philippians. And then ultimately, to silence Paul once and for all, Paul was put to death for his faith and for taking the message of Jesus all throughout the area. But you know what? Paul said it in Philippians. We've been saying it week by week. Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so in that moment from Paul's life, we see that joy wins. Joy wins the day. And even though they took his life, he won. He won. And we still read his letters today. And many of his letters, many of his writings are canonized in our Holy Scripture, and they still speak life today. So regardless of the outcome of our lives, regardless of the outcome of presidential elections, guess what? Joy wins, because Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the source of our joy. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray for every person watching today, God, that they would elect joy in their life this week. And we elect joy when we choose you to be our Lord, to be our King. So God, I pray for those today that are hesitant in where they place their trust because they only relate trust to it being broken. May they know and understand today, now more than ever, that Jesus, you are trustworthy and worthy of trust. So God, I pray that New Life Church would be a church of great joy, a church that brings joy to all of Kokomo and the rest of the world. And that by our lives and by the mission we live, we will show that joy wins the day, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.